One, two, three, four. This, my dear friends, is the chofta. Do you want some more? Chofta, the weekly podcast with Haji Mike. Culture, music, politics, football, life. It's funny how music travels around the world, across borders, genres, countries, cultures. It's also puzzling how sometimes we become so obsessed with claiming music's nationality in terms of its roots and origin. Don't get me wrong, music comes from somewhere, obviously. Like reggae comes from Jamaica, even if some people today, not from the land of wood, water, drum and bass line, claim they make the best reggae music in the world, even though they don't come from the island of Jamaica. But music, as Stuart Hall once said, is just as much about roots, where it comes from, and roots, where music takes us, where it's going in terms of destinations. I feel that a lot when I play live. No matter how many times I rehearse things, no matter how many times I've played a song, how it evolves, the transitions I go through singing it, the emotions, the pauses, the finite details, and specifically how it ends, where it gets to, always differs. And then the song is just a memory, unless, of course, we were lucky enough to record it somehow. So much music, so many memories, so many destinations. And I remember many late nights at the University of Essex talking about music and origins with various friends. Nobody back in 1980 would have dare said the best reggae music comes out of, say, the USA or Europe. And even when people say that today, I always find it to be a bit anomalous, even disrespectful. And there are many occasions in the 1980s when I had the same heated discussion with the same friend about music and origin. Rita Sethi came to the university to study law a year or two after me. I think Rita was the first Mancunian I had all-night discussions with. And I must say, I struggled with her accent, and she obviously struggled with mine. A northerner of Asian origin and a Londoner of Cypriot origin, drank many coffees and chewed the fat about the plight of the world, politics, football, and of course, the origins of certain songs. So one night, completely by accident, I decided to introduce Rita Sethi to the greatest Greek singer of all time, Το Χρυσό Λαρίνγκι, the Golden Larynx, Stelios, Stellaras, Gazangidis. I put on the song, Mandubala, and Rita immediately said, "Hold on a minute, mate, that's it, that's a Hindi song." Shock, horror, how could that be? Really surprised me that she insisted it was a Hindi, Indian song. So I played another one from a tape. And this time it was by a singer called Vulla Bala. And she was singing a song called Them Me Bone Saint Ganis. And at this point, my dear Mancunian Asian friend insisted, "This is such a rip-off. This is getting beyond the joke. That's Lata Mangeshkar. Rita insisted that that was the Indian national anthem, unofficially speaking. So don't you ever call that Greek. Much later, I was grooving to Lata Mangeshkar on a song called Addictive, sung so passionately by Truth Hurts. It was a hip-hop song featuring the iconic Rakim, one of my favourite rappers. Lata Mangeshkar obviously was sampled on it, and there was a phase when a lot of hip-hop songs sampled these Bollywood epic tunes. And I remember it took me back to that conversation again about the origins of certain Greek songs, where we stayed up all night in the early 80s arguing about how Indian songs became Greek. Rita always fumed about this. And when one of my Greek friends suggested it's probably due to Alexander the Great, she replied, "I'll give you Alexander the Great, mate. That's Lata Mangeshkar. You Greeks think you invented everything." And I'm sounding like a scouser now. To which the Greek friend replied, Well, I must do this accent word. "Well, we did actually. We invented democracy and homosexuality." But this thing stayed a mystery for me for a very long time. And the origins of these songs, we could never agree on it. How the Indian link was made, because, you know, Greece is quite a long way from India, and India is quite a long way from Greece. My theory was maybe a Greek sailor bought a copy of something while he was travelling, and I thought he brought it back to Greece. Or maybe a Greek sailor learnt an Indian song and came back to Greece and started singing it, and he was a part-time singer. I always thought the sailors were the ones who carried things across the seas. And in the 50s, that was probably possible. Rita Sethi wasn't having it. And she always insisted, bring forth the evidence. Now, it's important to note, as I said, she was studying law. And she had a very legal mind from back then and was obsessed with triangulation. And she was obsessed with it to such an extent that the rest of us were puzzled with the phrase, bring forth the evidence. We would simply say it was a Greek thing, and never mind, Rita, you'll get over it. Eventually, historically, Rita would be completely right and get the last laugh on the matter. Rita Sethi went on to become a very successful solicitor and eventually became a judge. That made me feel very proud. Of course, all this made me feel very bad much later on. I'd say after all those rantings, staying up all night, a revelation happened a few decades later when I received a compilation album called Da Indo-Brebi, which loosely translated means Songs of Indian Descent. The record came out in 1995 on Music Box International MBI in Athens. And with it, the mystery of our heated arguments over disputed musical origins was finally laid to rest. The release contained a collection of songs that were Greek adaptation of Hindi film songs from the 1950s. According to writer Helen Abadji, India managed to package and export its main problem, poverty, with its main attraction, exoticism, and Greece at the time was a willing buyer. And this was done through films. 111 of them in all were shown in movie theatres throughout Greece, with the peak time being 1958 to 1964. These movies were mainly watched by working-class Greeks who related to the plot lines of poverty, melodrama, as a reflection of their own harsh realities in Greece. Eventually, Greek producers imitated the Hindi success recipes. The result, shortly after, a number of Greek films, which included 8 to 12 songs, mainly set in bouzouki nightclub scenes, with very tragic plot lines and heavyweight titles. To bait the audience with Hindi films, the Greek titles were sometimes almost indistinguishable from their original ones. According to Abadji, roughly 105 Greek renditions of Indian songs were made, including the much-disputed Mandubala, the track that I played Rita Sethi, by Stellaras. And the story is, Stelios Kazantzidis saw a movie, an Indian movie, at that time. And after he watched the movie, Mandubala, he was inspired to write his own rendition of the song. And that became the first single in Greece to sell over 100,000 copies. And it would stay in the charts in Greece for over a decade. If only I knew all this back then. However, it's still not clear to me how the music actually came to Greece. And I was, for a number of years, my sailor theory was still on my mind. But there is something more significant that happened, and it's got solely to do with the way Indian films are marketed around the world. Back then in the 1950s, Indian films were also exported to the USSR, China, and East Africa. The first Indian film to have a worldwide release in many countries was Aan in 1952. And this was subtitled in 17 languages and released in 28 countries, including the UK, USA, France, and Japan. And it earned a considerable profit overseas. So clearly, it was not a Greek sailor after all, but it was the Indian movie industry that always had an innovative and clever approach to marketing itself. So clearly, my theory fallen flat on its ass. The songs of Indian descent were sadly shunned in Greece by the 1960s, despite their immense popularity. Middle-class commentators and various reactionary politicians stigmatized the music as sounding Turkish and ridiculed its Indian origins. They ridiculed the fact that Greece had been colonized by India. By the time the fascist colonels took over in 1967, with their military dictatorship, the music, along with various other sounds, was prohibited. The songs, however, remained popular in people's memory and around the Greek-speaking diaspora, where they thrived, along with Rembetiga, that had also been banned. During those difficult times, with the arrival of the cassette as a recorded format, people around the world could suddenly make their own tapes and determine their own musical selections. During this time, taxi drivers in Greece played a really important role in keeping different forms of music alive. The sound of radio during the dictatorship was heavily censored. Taxi drivers then were mobile selectors, and many of these songs that got banned, whether they were songs of Indian descent or Rembetiga. Getting back to Rita Sethi, though, and I hope you get to hear this podcast, Your Honour, I finally admit the Cockney Southerner got it completely wrong. Mother India, the movie, and the song sung by the late Lata Mangeshkar came first. Unequivocally, fundamentally, these songs were originally Indian. The Greeks were merely inspired by what they saw and heard and adapted that to reflect their own pain, suffering, and reality, their own lives. So here are these two songs back to back, vindicating my dear friend, Rita.
पीना ही पड़े। Δεν με πόνεσε κανείς. κάποιο πρωί θα βγει ψυχή μου. Καρδιά μου καημένη πως βαστάς και δεν αγγίζεις. Στο ψεύτη πουνιά τόση απονιά που αντικρίζεις.